Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
We most certainly do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the East Anglian's EDL radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. East Anglian's EDL radio show, the official English Defence League's radio station and the official voice of the EDL. We have our very own Cat Strangler 101, who's sitting in the panel there, who's
I mean, did see he could struggle this evening getting through the cat flap, Tim. You do seem quite sleek these days, or are you...
it's lovely to be here, Jeff. Do you know, I never get fed up of these cat jokes, taking the mickey out of me at the start of every programme. I really look forward to them, and I'm going to miss them when you meet with a sudden cat-related accident in the very near future.
Oh, which you mean a wild cat being seen around Rushmere St Andrews, and I'll be gobbled up by this very large creature.
I'm just making a note of that.
But it's so good to see you this evening. What's that? The Cheshire Grins. This is the little nickname for you this evening, Tim. Also, we've got our very own and a great name tonight, and I know the reason why behind it. It's our very own Red Fox blogger, our own Kel, with the nickname this evening of Polar Vortex. Welcome to you this evening, Kel, and it must be bloody cold out there.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, we're headed for another polar vortex coming our way this week in Canada and the United States. So, ladies and gentlemen, this one is going to be just as devastating as a deep freeze was a few weeks back, but this time it's going to last longer. So make sure you know what to do. Make sure you have your supplies. Make sure that you take care of your pets. Make sure your vehicles are ready for the deep freeze because, folks, we're back into it again next week.
Yeah, it seems like one vortex into another, isn't it, just of Lake Hill? And my thoughts for everybody that's going to be affected by this this bad weather conditions that we've all been experiencing, whatever part of the globe we're on, that there's some very strange weather patterns that's been occurring. But with that, I'm just going to bring our own co-host of the show as well, and that's our very own Mr. Tommy English. So, Tommy, welcome to you there, brother. I've been sitting there quietly and patiently.
I'm always so quiet.
not really. It's unusual to hear you quiet, Tommy.
A regular shrinking violet is our Tommy.
There you go. The shrinking violet for Tommy English. Yeah, well, it's good to see you anyway. Well, it's good to hear you. I can't see you, Tom. As you know, it's a radio show. It's not a TV show.
Well, now. Until you get your own spot on a channel tomorrow at 6:30, East Anglian EDL TV show. You get your half-hour spot on Channel 4.
Know one day, Tommy, you never know one day that we might explore that venue of TV. I mean, other radio hosts have gone down that path. Who's to say that we, the English Defence League, can't go down the same path? So there you go. That's something to think about, and it won't be too difficult to do with the state of art of the way things are these days. It's something that maybe we can have in discussions with. It's something I've been thinking of when I talked about it. It just was going through my mind. Wouldn't it be? Except I won't be sitting in my dressing gown now, as you know. I'll be wearing a nice suit and a tie and.
You'll do us proud, Jeff. You'll come on with your Brill cream and your suit and your tie. It'll be wonderful.
I'll take the cardigan off and put my suit on.
Yeah, you've got to keep your cardigan on top of your suit. Otherwise, nobody will know it's you. The Brill cream and the cardigan. Yeah, it'll be great. It really will be your trademark.
Tim, you'll give me a bit of bad street cred thinking I'm wearing a cardigan on top of a suit. Now, come on. That's not cricket, old chap.
I thought they all did that down your street, Jeff.
Oh, my goodness me. No, no, we, We're quite well dressed around here, apart from myself, who's tonight. I just had a nice bath earlier, so I'm just chilling out in my dressing gown for this evening. For all of our listeners out there thinking, oh, didn't really need to hear that. Well, anyway, it's out there. But, anyway, it's good to see everybody on the panel this evening. But as I say, what I did notice, as I say, the name of the show, Episode Info, and I had to look at it, and I looked at it again. The East Anglian's EDL radio show, Our Sentience, and it goes on to say, sentience, having the power of senses, perception, or sensations. So, and that's... that was very unusual. I thought, well, that's something that we can expand a little bit on, those that type of sentence. I don't know, Kel, you must have had a good logical thought behind this, or been in chat with Tim with all these great words that you and him put together.
Oh, no, so, no, you don't. No, you don't.
That is
don't
normally the
me.
Case, isn't it, Tim?
No, Kel will explain... entirely. I'm going to step back from this one.
Which aspect do you want me to explain?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Where to begin?
Just, you know, we put a show together, and you know, we got the banner of Our Sentience. And maybe you'd like to expand on that a bit. I think it's very good, though. It made me think about it. And when I started to read the... definition of it did make a lot of sense. But Kel,
absolutely, yeah, I put the banner Our Sentience up there for people to take a look at, and you will see in the episode in info that it means having the power of sense, perception, or sensation consciousness. In particular, our sentient beings, which are our animals, and their treatment within Islam. I was doing a little bit of research, and I was relying on one of my books that I use quite a bit, and that's Reliance of the Traveler.
Yeah.
They do have quite a bit to say about animals within the Quran. And for the most part, the animals are supposed to be treated humanely. They're supposed to be treated with tenderness and love, but it is, as we're finding out, that's not always the case. Now, according to the Sunnah, it is forbidden to beat animals unnecessarily, to brand them on the face, or allow them to fight each other for human entertainment. They must not be mutilated while they are alive. We're finding out within the Islamic world that that is not the case. Muhammad himself hated dogs. There has always been this rumor going around that Muhammad was trying to pet a dog and it bit him or something, and so he put a fatwa on dogs.
As you do.
Wasn't there a surah about it, Tim? There was a surah, or Tommy, you probably know. Yeah, I think there was a surah on that, exactly what happened. Because what happened, it had all the dogs put to death, all the ones in the local vicinity, mm-hmm. whatever, because of that situation. But I think it's in one of the surahs, and maybe Tommy or Tim, you might be a little bit more up on that, but I do remember going back
I recall he had something to say about black dogs in particular, but
that's
I believe
correct.
I believe he also said that an angel will not enter a house that has a picture or a dog in it. And if it's a picture of a dog, that's even worse. You're definitely not going to get any angels coming in there. So you have to, if you want angels to come in your house, you've got to get rid of all your dogs, all your pictures, and especially pictures of dogs. Well, that might not be the exact translation of the surah, but it's definitely somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that myself, Tim. As I say, I haven't got it in front of me, but I do recall sort of going back maybe a couple of years ago now when I was looking in some of the things, and one of the surahs, I'm sure it said about the black dog that he'd been bitten, and he commanded. Go on, Tommy, you probably got a little bit more to say on that. Go on, mate.
I've got it here. I heard Allah's apostle saying, angels of mercy, do not enter a house wherein there is a dog or a picture of a living creature.
Yeah, that's Bucaria 4.539. That's one of the
Sierras. I've got to grab my phone. Bear with me a second. I've got to go through my bookshelf now. Hold on, just bear with me.
Well, it's something you could say that we all do. You know, with most of the verses that we talk about, we've always got the information just there, or Tim's got it, or Tommy's got it, or Kel's got the sewer in front of her. That's one thing we like to make sure that you've got all the information. If you need to check it or anything, then we can give you the information. You can check for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen.
Imagine it why Muhammad didn't like dogs, guys. While he was on one of his many conquests, maybe he stepped in some dog droppings, and maybe that's what just started it all off.
No, I just think he was an evil bastard. That's all. Let's be honest. My whole sentiment about him, he just absolutely hated animals, dogs especially.
Yeah, what they've actually done now in this country, dogs now have to wear like little shoes when they inspect Muslim homes now, don't they?
Police dogs, yeah.
I don't know if that's the case all the time, Tommy. I do know I've heard things that the police have been gone into, you know, Muslims' houses without the booties on as such before. But, there has been a few occasions where that's probably has taken... taken part because they knew that there would be a bit of an uproar if they didn't do something in that way. But I've heard a few cases, like yourself, Tom. I've heard a few where the police are told that they must put little booty things on their dog's feet before they enter a Muslim's home. It's always an interesting aspect to talk about, isn't it? It's the way that their hatred towards... or their distaste against animals simply because of their so-called prophet, whatever they call him, because, I don't call him that at all. He was a bit of a joke of the time, and he made a joke turn into some sort of a so-called religion, didn't he?
I don't know why exactly he singled out the dogs, but one thing... that I do understand is that dogs are one of the items that are considered unclean, and that, of course, includes us, the kafir or the infidel. But one thing that Muhammad believed as well is that a dog's saliva is unclean. But Muhammad was a cat guy, so I don't know. And we know that cats also engage in ablutions of the similar manner of a dog. However, cats are not considered unclean, but dogs, because of their saliva, is unclean. And I've got a bit of a little story here. I remember when we first bought our house here and we got Brandy, we had a neighbor, and at the time I did not know that he was a Muslim, but he liked our dog, and he would like to come over and look at her in the yard and say, she's such a pretty little dog and stuff like that. It never occurred to me until after I started studying Islam, and a light bulb went off in my head. He never, ever petted my dog.
But the thing, he did steer away from it, though. The thing about it was with that Muslim that he did like the look of your dog, didn't he? And he did say that she was a pretty dog. So, at least he didn't actually just walk away because he felt a distaste for animals as such. And maybe that is the case in a lot of parts. I'm sure there's some Muslims out there who keep dogs that don't go by what all says in the Quran and all that. Do you believe that? Well, I don't believe that. I think some of them do.
I just brushed it up to maybe he was afraid of dogs. It never occurred to me that there might be something within his religion and that he could not interact with dogs because of the Prophet Muhammad and his edict that dogs are unclean and the saliva is dangerous. So amazing the little connections you make as you go along.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, at the time you didn't connect it, but when you started to look into the Quran a little bit and look into different things, then all of a sudden you realise that's the reason why he never actually give your dog a stroke, or you know, give it a pet, or give it a dog biscuit, or whatever you would do.
Nick,
you know,
that paddy won't give a dog a burn.
Tommy to join
SCG in the chat room wants to know, Jeff, what happens if your parrot says something along the lines like "muzzy git" or something like that? Would that be classified as racial hatred? And I'm SCG.
You
should hear
what
Charlie says.
Yeah, you should hear what his parrot comes out with.
Well, I think that's a very good point, because maybe if I had the there was the police come to my home and they wanted to check something out and had a search warrant or whatever, and if Charlie was there in the corner and he's going, "Muslims are wankers," and the Prophet Muhammad is, you know, "dirty old bastard." Possibly I might be done for teaching the bird racial hatred sort of speech.
Yeah,
would you not agree, Tim, that they
I could see that if you had such a creature and it was parroting the Quran, for example, you might end up doing some serious bird yourself. And that's an English joke that some of you
the pun there.
Well, what we have to remember, guys, that I'm going to give Jeff a new parrot for his birthday. And when he gets the parrot, and it's going to be say, "Hello, my name is Winston." When Jeff goes, "Go on, Winston, speak," it'll start going, "Sharia, Sharia."
Sharia, Sharia, you want a cracker?
Jeff will wake up.
Well,
Jacob, Jeff will wake up every morning. Allahu Akbar.
I mean to say, Charlie, basically, I tried to teach her something from the Quran a while ago, and she was too busy wanting to tear her feathers out, so I don't think she was too amused by that. I don't think you want to hear that, like, you know, because people say, get to say something like, you know, whatever from the Quran, something like that. So I tried to teach her a few things, and she got rather annoyed about it, and I don't know, birds are very, you know, it's like animals, they're very sensitive to things like that, maybe.
Religion of peace.
Well, she does the McDonald's tune, doesn't she, Jeff? She always does that.
There's
yes.
Jeff and Charlie,
I mean,
with Jeff sitting in his dressing gown, teaching Charlie new naughty words. Come here, Charlie.
Well, she does swear a bit, as you know, Kel, and Poppy knows, that Charlie, she's got a thing about saying the F word or calling people wankers. I mean, that she does quite often. So if I had the police knock on the door and say, "F off, you wankers," I probably could get arrested for teaching a bird to say things like that.
Jeff Mitchell, you are charged with religiously aggravated assault and indoctrination of parrots. How do you plead?
Sounds to me that
there,
Jeff's...
And the parrot,
sounds
to
me.
Only parrot in my mouth.
Yes, quite. I was going to say, it sounds to me that Jeff is far more likely to be arrested for wearing an offensive dressing gown on top of his cardigan. So...
What's he like, Kel? What's he like?
Oh, dear.
I don't think Tommy is going to write him up. I'm not writing him up. I think he's right.
Yeah, I think he's right as well, sir.
Take me name, Tom. Tim, you'd like my dressing gown.
Okay, let's get this show back on the road. I have something here, though, gentlemen, that I would like to read to you, because we are talking about the issue of animals. And I read this book many, many years ago. I have it upstairs in my library, and that is When Elephants Weep, and that is The Emotional Lives of Animals. This is why in the West we love our creatures so dearly, and that when the author wrote this book, there was a book review about it. I'd like to share that with you guys. And that is elephants are some of the most emotional beings on earth. They love, they play, they grieve. They seek out friends and thrive in the company of their family. This we all know. But when Jeffrey Musilitz Masson's When Elephants Weep, The Emotional Lives of Animals was published in 1996, it was considered groundbreaking research, albeit controversial. Now, the book's title is a tad misleading because Masson doesn't focus only on elephants, but chronicles the emotional lives of others, including Moja, a playful mongoose who waltzes with squirrels, Toto, a chimpanzee who nursed his malaria-stricken human observer back to health, and Alex, an African gray parrot with an impressive vocabulary who, when left at the veterinarian's office, shrieked, "Come here, I love you, I'm sorry, I want to go back." The book combines, the book combines scientific evidence as well as anecdotal accounts from zoologists, biologists, animal trainers, and the like that make it unequivocally clear that animals experience joy, grief, excitement, loneliness, jealousy, empathy, the entire emotional range that we humans experience. Masson discusses how the scientific community's loathing of anthropomorphism makes it easier to support animal experimentation, particularly experimentation involving pain, loneliness, and mental anguish, and that is so true. Masson also notes that a common refrain is that animals and zoos are happy if the young play and the adults breed, yet most zookeepers would not accept the standard of happiness for themselves. Dr. Jane Goodall astutely notes, even in concentration camps, babies were born. Masson closes by saying, scientific humility suggests that complete understanding of other animals may be impossible, but we will come far closer if we do not begin by insisting that we already know that more than we do about what characteristics they do not have, to conclude without study that an animal has no feeling or cannot feel is to proceed on a prejudice and an unscientific bias in the name of science. Now, every day, millions of animals who are used in experiments, held captive in zoos, and intensely raised on factory farms have their feelings and their ability to experience mental suffering completely disregarded. We can help one another. Remember, animals, they do experience the entire spectrum of emotions, the same that we feel. I think we are all have, if you have a dog or you have a cat, and they know when you're not quite up to speed on yourself, and they when the dog gets herself into a little bit of trouble, as my Brandy was wont to do, and you chastise her, she knows that she's done something. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up with Jeff and Tommy and Tim was because I was doing some research on something completely different, and I kept coming across these images and how animals are treated within the realm of Islam, in that they seem to have absolutely no regard for how the animals are treated. We see donkeys laden with hundreds of pounds, and the donkey literally collapses and dies under the weight. We see children in Palestine cornering a dog and beating it to death with sticks. We see cats in North Africa being nailed to a makeshift cross because they consider that it is demonized. There, Jeff, I'm passing the mic back to you.
Well, as I say, it's something that we wanted to explore a little bit, the way that the animals are treated. I know that no society is perfect, but we do know that in humanity towards the animals in Islam. We've seen so many pictures, so many videos of absolutely horrific things, that the ones, ladies and gentlemen, that I don't even watch now because I just find it's too distressing, too upsetting to see a poor animal suffering, especially in the halal ceremonies and things like that. You know, cows being slaughtered, the way that they hang them up and they cut their throat, and these poor animals. I don't like to go through it graphically, but as I say, I can quite understand the reason why we want to explore the little bit, the way that Islam treats its animals to the rest of the free world. And it is Well, you know, I don't think there is no RSPCA involved where Islam's concerned, is there, Kev? Let's be honest. I mean, they just do their own thing and what the law say or what the RSPCA or anybody else says. And the trouble is that we've got politicians and these do-gooders that rather turn their backs the other way while these horrific things happen on a daily basis, isn't it? A daily basis these things happen. But it's only right that we should explore. That's another aspect of Islam that we want to explore a little bit tonight. And I can see with the what you read there tonight and what we led into where the animals were concerned, Gil. So maybe Simon or Tommy,
I'll pick it up. I mean, there's no doubt when you look around the Islamic world that cruelty to animals is absolutely off the scale, and you can see it everywhere. It's not just the slaughter of animals for halal purposes. It's wanton cruelty, and you see examples of this all the time. I mean, I don't even want to sort of go there, but on YouTube there are hundreds and hundreds of videos detailing in graphic detail the kind of animal cruelty that you see within Islam, and I think it comes down largely to, I'm not talking about the specific halal practices where they've got a religious justification for it, however cruel that might be. I'm talking about the general lack of feeling that seems to be prevalent within the Muslim world to anybody or anything that isn't Muslim. And that lack of feeling is something that in our society we would consider to be certainly sociopathic, if not actually bordering on the psychopathic. And I think it's symptomatic of the kind of mindset that goes with Islam being forced into children from a very young age, along with the religious tenets of Islam, is also a disregard for anything and everything that is un-Islamic, and a complete disregard for animals in particular. And it's a factor that I don't think we should ignore. I mean, we can say that there are certainly cases that we hear about in our own country and in our own culture where people are cruel to animals, but that is generally the exception rather than the rule. We have the RSPCA, and I dare say if you look on the RSPCA website, you will see some sort of heartrending examples of cruelty that transcends cultural barriers. But in Islam, it seems to be particularly prevalent, and I'm sure it's because of the complete moral inversion that Islam imparts into the people who are unfortunate enough to be brainwashed by it. So if I maybe pass the mic over to Tommy, have you got something to add there, Tommy?
Sorry, yeah.
cornflakes, I know. Come on, get with it.
I've on some stronger pills that made me feel a bit drowsy, so I was kind of like fading in and out.
Oh,
then.
It's been drowsy.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit drowsy.
Okay, Tommy. As I say, we were just expanding on something that we was discussing about the way animals are treated in Islam, dogs and cats and other animals. I thought that we would take part of the show discussing it. I know we're coming up to the top of the break, and I had a little miss. We've been talking, Kel and myself. We're going to play something, or Kel's got something to play at the top of the hour, which is just gone the top of the hour now. And maybe when we come back, maybe we can maybe expand a little bit on it, or if there's something else we was going to discuss, we can maybe go into things in a little bit more detail after we come back from the break. With that, I'm going to pass it back to Kel. And good to see everybody in the chat room. See, we've got a busy chat room once again, guys, and it's always good to see everybody there. Some very familiar faces and some of our regular people here. So thanks, guys, for all being here this this evening. And anybody, if you're listening in at all, maybe you're in the chat, or maybe you want to call in, please do. If you've got your Skype, you'll type Skype, and you're a Blog Talk Radio user, left click on the blue button. Follow the prompts when it said, do you want to speak to the host or do you want to listen? You'll press 1 on your device. But if you're not connected to any of those devices and you're outside the USA, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. Repeat, 001-858-777-5934. With that, I will now pass it back to Kel. Go to you, Kel.
Thanks, Jeff. Actually, we have two things that we're going to play. We have three clips that we will be playing today.
Awesome.
We have a promo for Hold Your Awakens for his program on January 25th. That's Saturday, January 25th at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where he blows the myth of Palestine wide open. And he will be joined by Gadi Edelman. I'll play that one right now, Jeff.
Okay, thank you, Kel.
On Saturday night, January 25th, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, The Awakening on Blog Talk Radio with host Holger Awakens will finally set the record straight in regards to the so-called Palestinians of the West Bank and Gaza. For far too long, Islamic propaganda and Western media dimitude has perpetuated the lie that there is a Palestinian people, that there is a land called Palestine, and that the Israeli people somehow occupy this land. This night, the 25th of January, the lie will die. Join Holger Awakens on this special night as he welcomes counterterrorism expert Gadi Edelman to discuss just how the Palestinian fantasy was created, why it has gotten traction, and what the end result has been in the entire Middle East. The Awakening's presentation of The Palestinian Myth on Saturday, January 25th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Be there and learn the truth. Be there as the evil of the Middle East is dealt a death blow.
And you can hear Holger's program right here on Blog Talk Radio this Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Jeff, we also have a mission statement that Martin Hive had put together for us. I sent it your way, and I loaded it into the studio per your instructions because
yes,
I know
you
really like that one.
Before
I play that, though, Jeff, Martin Hive is probably one of the biggest supporters of the English Defense League movement, and he gets very little recognition. But here at the East Anglian EDL radio show, Martin Hive, we so totally appreciate and respect everything you do in terms of contributing to the program. We are so grateful for the time that you take and the effort that you put into your high-quality videos. Jeff, whenever you want me to play that, just let me know.
Yes, please, Kel. I was going to say, and that's something we'll always continue to support Martin with his great works he does. As Kel said, he's done some absolutely awesome videos as well, and that so distinctive voice that absolutely, when myself and Ivan, when the first time I heard Martin was going back a while ago now, and I think you heard it as well, Kel, one of the first ones, it sent that shiver, you know, that made your hairs on the back of your neck stand up. It was just so well done. And really, he hasn't looked back since then, because he's just, his work's gone from better to better in whatever he does. And it's great. And it's great to know he's a great supporter of the show as well. And thank you. If you're listening, Martin, thank you all for all your great words. We really do appreciate you. And we can't wait one day for you to be in our vicinity, that we can have you on this show, because I think it'd be great for everybody that's listening, all our listeners. So do you not agree, Kel? That'd be absolutely awesome if we can
It would be wonderful.
And we will keep you informed.
Yeah. That's another thing. Martin's occupation takes him to various locales, and it's hard to pin him down. But
yes,
he,
very busy man.
All the same, he finds the time to ensure that the message is getting out there, and he recognizes that the East Anglian EDR radio program is one of the best platforms that is out there for people to get the news and get updated. Sometimes we talk about cats and dogs. We're literally doing that today. But we also bring you very important information that you need, whether it be a rally update or what's going on with our fellow counter-jihadists, like our very own Tim Burton. We bring you the information that you need, and Martin totally is on board with us in that he is another one who is a true counter-jihadist. I'll play that clip whenever you want me to, Jeff.
Yes, please, Kel. Yeah, go
okay.
Ahead. Thank you, Kel.
I will do. This is the EDL 2014 mission statement. It is 7 minutes long, but please listen. It's wonderfully done. And what I'll do too, Jeff, is I have the YouTube. I'll put it in the chat room for everybody so they can watch it later as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank
no
you,
problem.
The Committee for the English Defence League, made up of all your regional organisers, has agreed that this video should be made to clarify a few uncertainties that are being aired by the supporters of the English Defence League. The Committee do not want to have or feel the need to have unity with any of the known splinter groups from the EDL for the following reasons. They do not follow the EDL mission statement. Some or all of these splinter groups are openly white pride and racist, and the EDL ethos is and always will be black and white unite. Some or all of these splinter groups are against our Jewish and LGBT community, and again, this does not go with our mission statement and ethos. They demonstrate against issues which are not encompassed in the EDL mission statement. While the committee are happy to stand with any like-minded patriots that do not discriminate against creed and color, we will not stand with groups that do discriminate and are racist, such as the SEA, NWI, Britain First, EVF, and British National Party. If any EDL supporters wish to attend any of these other groups' demos, then all that we request is that you do not wear EDL colors or state you are in attendance as an EDL supporter. If you wish to have unity with these groups, then you have the option to leave the EDL as a supporter and join one or all of these groups. The splinter groups have minimal numbers and need unity with the EDL to make their numbers up, rather than the other way round. We are also hearing feedback that some supporters are unaware of the reasons why some leaders of these other groups are no longer welcome as EDL members. So we have set out this brief summing up as to why. Mr. Paul Pitt was the regional organizer for Essex, and complaints were made to the EDL leadership as to his bullying, harassing, and intimidating manner to other supporters if they did not toe the line that he wanted them to. Mr. Paul Pitt also threatened several supporters with violence on more than one occasion. The EDL leadership warned Paul Pitt of this several times, and even had a face-to-face meeting with him and gave him a final warning to conduct himself in a better manner or he would be removed as a regional organizer. After this meeting, the EDL leadership were made aware that Paul Pitt had formed the SEA and was also selling clothing to supporters. Paul Pitt continued with the same behavior that he had been warned about, and more complaints were being received, and eventually Mr. Pitt was told that he could no longer be a regional organizer, but was welcome to remain within the EDL. Paul Pitt refused this and started to openly promote his SEA group, which did not follow the EDL's mission statement and already had links with Paul Golding and Ed Dawson of Britain First. EVF. This was formed by John Sheridan, who was previously a lead person in the EDL, but left due to personal reasons. He later left the EVF and returned to the EDL. The EVF views do not follow our mission statement. Tony Curtis got involved with the Macy Morley incident, where a great number of people were calling for Mr. Macy to be removed from the EDL. Tony Curtis contacted the EDL leadership and issued them with an ultimatum that Macy be removed or he would leave the EDL, and gave them a couple of days to comply with this ultimatum. The EDL leadership refused to give in to this ultimatum and set a precedent and thanked Tony Curtis for his work. At a later date, the EDL leadership tried to mediate with Tony Curtis via an RO to meet up and discuss things, but Tony Curtis refused unless further ultimatums were agreed to. Tony Curtis wanted to be the enforcer and have his own team who would throw out anyone in the EDL he deemed should be removed and was answerable to no one, and issued the name of several people he wanted removed before even being prepared to discuss things. As several egos were already rearing their heads and Tony Curtis showed himself to be another ego, the EDL leadership refused to give in to this ultimatum and ended discussions with Tony Curtis. He also got himself involved in the row between an EDL supporter that had legal documents relating to Charlene Downs, which the EDL had already distanced themselves from. It was Tony Curtis's choice to leave the EDL, and the EDL leadership did attempt to negotiate with him, but to no end. Britain First, Paul Golding. The following link explains Britain First in detail. In a recent statement by Paul Golding, he had the following to say regarding EDL supporters, which has upset a great many people, as he seems to be tarring everyone with the same brush. Here is his statement about the EDL. Let it be known, however, that we have no intention of repeating the mistakes made by previous groups. Drunkards, those who insist on wearing masks, racists and or liberals will not be tolerated in Britain First. We want serious, committed, sober, focused, sensible, patriotic and dedicated activists. The very best that Britain has to offer. And the units that have been established recently bear all these qualities and more. Mr. John Shaw, aka Snowy. This link gives details about Mr. John Shaw. Shane Calvert, aka Diddy Boy. Shane Calvert left the EDL and started the NWI, which go by the 14 words and have not been welcome at EDL events since he left, along with other members of the NWI, because of their racist views, which can be seen in these links. And finally, Nick Griffin and the BNP. This link explains the English Defence League's attitude towards the British National Party.
That was long, but it was good.
A full, that was name and shame. And that is the reason why the English Defence League does not get involved with other splinter groups. We don't, we're not associated. We are our own entity. We don't need any of the splinter groups, and anybody who wants to sort of, you know, maybe go to some of these demonstrations, then go. But you go under your own steam, and you don't go under the auspices of the EDL. That's the way that I look at it, and that's the way the organisation looks at it as well. And I think that was very good to that Martin put that together. Because I know it's got the full endorsement of the, of course, all of our ROs that was put together and done in SA, and also to air it on East Anglia's EDL radio show this evening as well, girl. So we stand by everything that was said on there. So there you go. I mean, we put things out there in the open. We lay it bare, and that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's just the way who we are. We're the EDL. We don't associate ourselves with any of the other groups. The splinter groups are, you know, made up of just not too many people, and they think they can have the same, you know, they'll rise to the same sort of a thing as what the English Defence League. Well, guys, that's never going to happen. Never. I mean, we are off and on, and it was talked about three and a half years ago now. We was a phenomenon back then, and we're still moving on, and we're still, we are still breaking around. We still lead the world in the anti-jihad fight. That's it. That's a known fact, ladies and gentlemen, and we will continue to do so. And it's nice that we can, you know, air things on the show like we did with that with Martin Hyde putting that mission statement together for this year as well. So, any thoughts, guys? Tim, Tom,
I have something to say about Mr. Hard, did he, man?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
At the Sheffield demonstration, he was there when we got cut off from the main bit, and the police cut us off on this one bit of road with the UAF behind us, coming and charging up the street saying they're gonna kill us, and I was stood there. And guess what he did? Mr. Big Hat NWI man legged it.
Run. Yeah. Yeah, I remember you telling me that going back a while ago. And this does seem to be the case, doesn't it? These big ego trippers, when it comes down to the nitty gritty, I'd rather turn tail and run. But you know, I mean, it was a broad swipe at all these groups out there that do try to cause us all sorts of problems, don't they, Tommy? We know who they are, and they've been named, and that's what Martin did just previously on that clip there. So it was good. It's good that we do that, because it just lets people know, all our listeners out there, what we're all about and what we stand for. And what we don't stand for, and there you go. I think that basically summed it up. Would you not say there, Tim?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm quite a fan of Martin's work generally, but I think when he puts something together like that, you know, it's really compelling. He's got a very compelling voice to listen to, and I think we should have more stuff by Martin, is what I say, because I think he does great work for the EDL.
He certainly
we love you,
does,
Martin.
Yeah, we really do, and we really appreciate his time and the effort that he does put in these the videos together and the audio and everything. It's, you know, it's very well done, and again, thanks you for all your hard work that you do on our behalf. What I was going to say, it's. As I say, when I listened to that, it just put everything into the proper perspective. The way that people, you know, going back a while ago, used to look at the EDL, the way they look at us now, we gained so much respect over the last 5 years, haven't we? We used to get them, you know, the name calling and all that, and people now, they seem to, you know, the names are still out there. But people are not really taking much notice. It just goes to show you. I mean, we got to repeat it, Tim, you know, on that BBC, that poll on that Sunday morning principal program, wouldn't
it? 95%
of the British people would like to see the English Defence League with their own platform being able to say things without being hit down with the big stick because it's politically incorrect the way that they look at it. But that is the case, though, isn't it?
Well, it is the case, and I think what people have to remember is when the EDL first came onto the scene, I think the British establishment were probably quite startled because they knew that they were sweeping under the carpet an awful lot of misdemeanours, antisocial activity, not to mention severely criminal behaviour, specifically by the Muslim community. That was being swept under the carpet. And they knew in general terms, I dare say, that sooner or later something would respond to this, but they didn't know what that something was. And so when the EDL came into being, I think they were probably really very startled, and the word came down from on high that we must do everything we possibly can to demonize this group. And to be fair, it wasn't too difficult to start with, because a lot of the people who came onto the scene were like football supporters and so on, and it was easy to tar them with a brush that made them look like thugs and bad people, and completely hide the message that the EDL were wanting to get out, which was, we have had enough of the antics of the Muslim community, and we think something needs to be done about it. Now, five years on, an awful lot of people are starting to see the fact that the EDL did actually have a point, to the extent where we had that poll, as you said, Jeff, last October, I think it was, October, November, when Samira Ahmed took a poll on Sunday Morning Live, confidently expecting, I'm absolutely sure, that the BBC arguments that the EDL were to be disregarded and that no serious person should take them seriously, no right-thinking person should take them seriously. I'm sure they were looking for a poll result which would show that most people would slap them down without a second thought. The look on her face, as we all know, was completely priceless when she saw the 95% in favour of giving
was.
The EDL...
Just the way she went, yes, wasn't
floor.
It? It was just hilarious. She was like,
yeah.
Okay, so the votes are in 95%.
Her mouth dropped open, Tom. We had it on one of our slides. Do you remember that, Tommy?
Well,
and Tim, you had it on one of our slides.
It is now about a ringtone for when somebody rings me up. It goes like this. Okay, so the votes are in. So did the English Defence League have you that need to be aware? Yeah, so need to be heard. 95% of you voted yes.
Yes. No, I think
and
that
5%
you know,
voted no.
The point I was,
should we do a recount?
Yeah, the point I was going to make is that the problems with the Muslim community are still there. People are starting to recognise, well, if they hadn't already recognised, that it's a problem specifically to do with the Muslim community, and naturally they want something done about it. Now, if the government choose not to do something about something that is that serious, it's obvious there is going to be a response, and I think people will look elsewhere, and if they see the EDL stepping up to the plate and highlighting these things where the government and the mainstream media refuse to do so, then they will naturally support us. And I think that's the position we're at now. We're actually getting a lot more support.
I think so.
People see that the government are still not taking the steps that ought to be taken to handle this problem in the way that it ought to be handled. And perhaps I ought to pass the mic back to Tommy for the next comment on this. You're still eating your cornflakes, aren't you? You're still eating your cornflakes.
I'll tell you something, guys. I've been absolutely bedridden all day. I feel absolutely awful today.
I was bedridden once. Oh, no, that's another joke altogether. No, forget that. Harry, what about you, Kel? Have you got something to say on that?
I can tell you that the chat room is quite animated. It's quite busy in there. They're really enjoying that clip that we played. I think that I was just sending Jeff a message there. I was saying that this is a brilliant topic in which we're discussing. And, Jeff, I love what you said. It is the name game of shame, and that the English Defense League does not absolutely endorse any splinter group. EDL stands on its own, and the English Defense League is a pressure group to let the government know that there is dissension amongst the English populace and that we don't want the Sharia law. We have nothing against Muslims. We're not racist. We have all walks of life within the EDL, and I'm speaking as a collective we, because I am, after all, one of the panelists on one of the finest programs on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, do I get my raise now, boss? But it's true. And the chat room is very, very busy chatting back and forth about this EDL statement made by Martin Hive. Fantastic work.
I think it had to be out there. I'm so glad that that you uploaded it into the studio this evening, because, you know, there was different rumblings talking about different things about these splinter groups. It's good to get it out in the open and to name and shame the people that have been trying to cause the EDL so many problems down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that was mentioned have, over the years, tried to cause so much dissension amongst the EDL. But you know what? Even with what they're doing, we are still a driving force, even with what they try to try to fragmentize our organization. It's not paying off. We are still the driving force. We are the main anti-jihadist group in this country and globally. The EDL, as you say, it stands alone, its own entity. We're a global entity now, and they can't touch us. And no matter what they say, no matter what they do or try to do, to try to smear us and say this and that, it's not working out, because we have still probably got millions upon millions of people that support the EDL around
these
the globe.
These groups have got,
you know,
nothing. If it weren't for the EDL, they wouldn't have even existed. I mean, if you go to anyone on the street, if you heard of the EDL, they'll go, yeah, you heard of the NWI, what? You heard of the EVF, what? Point proven.
No. So that's the point, Tommy. I mean, you know, even as far as India, you know, the EDL is commonly talked about in people's households. That's how popular the EDL has become, and that is what on the other side of the continent that people know about us. At far-flung places across the globe, that people talking about what we're doing, what we're achieving, and try to follow us. Don't forget, we've had the Buddhist Defense League set up because of what we was doing. So it just goes to show you, some of the far-off countries are listening to what we're saying. Listen to maybe these shows, what we do, guys. You know, it's so important that we do continue the way we're doing, because we are breaking new ground every day. Every day we're breaking new ground. We have rewritten the history books, because history will look at this time of where people, when they have had enough of the way that politicians was treating the people of this country and the political correctness. These are the things that will be discussed in the future. And I think very much we are a part of the driving force of the striving history pages, what we do. With that, Kel, do you know what? I haven't gone for my break. I was wondering, have we got a little bit of music
or
something?
Okay, I'll just say before we go into the break, guys, is that
yes.
my little brother... I'm trying to get him on, actually, but he's a bit shy. He told me this morning that he's writing a little song for his little talent show, and it's going to be called Anjem and Abu. How's that going to go? Then? He goes, it's something like this. So, Anjem, what are we going to do today? Same thing we do every day. I would try to think for some Sharia law. Then it goes, it's Anjem and Amanda who won it. Genius, the earth has been seen. It's been a funky...
Sorry, I've got to say, you was breaking up a bit there, mate, as you were saying, as you were speaking there. Oh, sorry about that, mate.
It's just basically a spin-off of Pinky and the Brain.
Okay.
Doesn't
well,
that always
was
figure?
Say, yes, exactly, Phil. Yeah, as I say, Poppy said to that he was breaking bad as well there, Tom, so no problem, it'll probably sort itself out in a second or so. But, Kel, I'm wondering if we've just got a little bit of music that I can just, you know, call back in, please, just while we take a quick break.
I'm looking here, and I actually found something, and I think we should play this. We've not played this for a very, very long time, and that is the Marine Corps Warrior Song. And I noticed that there's a certain lady
oh, wow.
in the chat room named Poppy. And every time I hear
oh,
the
yes.
Warrior songs, all the versions, I always think of our Poppy. So maybe we should go with that one. What do you think?
Sounds good.
I think that's an absolutely awesome tune there, Kel. So with that, over to you.
Okay. Everybody, refresh your teas or beverages of choice or grab a little snack, and we're all going to see you back here in 6 minutes.
People born to those who pledged their lives in sacred honor, was smiled upon by God and freed from chains and iron collar. He is held aloft on unity and by history revered for preserving peace through strength his wings now reach across 200 years. But for each of those in 1 year more, God has smiled upon the Corps. From the Barbary coast to the eastern sand, by sword, by gun, or by bare hand, so it's been and shall be weighed. Though many are born, few are made. Faithful always they shall remain. Dogs to loose when war is waged.
Like a body bag, old as a moment, now I'm past. The shadow of death is the one I cast. I am.
there you go. It just stopped quick then.
Wherever you are.
Oh, there you go. It stops rather abrupt, doesn't it, Kel, at the end of that? You don't know when you could come in.
I think there was always something when I was growing up, and personally in my life, I think there was always something. I've always wanted to do great things. I've always wanted to make a difference somehow, some way. I always wanted to, you know, it might sound corny or whatever, but do something to change the world, you know? Do something to make a difference in society.
Is it worth it?
Yes, it's worth it. It's worth the sacrifice. It's definitely worth the sacrifice.
Well, I stepped in then, and I didn't realise it wasn't over. Oh dear, it was a great. That's a great tune there, wasn't it, Kel? And that's fantastic. I know a lot of people enjoyed
it. It really
that, so
was, and quite frankly, Jeff, I was ready to jump in too because I keep forgetting that there's that little tail end because the song, it does end abruptly and it goes very, very silent and then a voice comes on and I was getting ready to respond to you and I thought, who's on the line? I actually thought it was a caller.
Yeah, I know. That.
I got back
we must remember
studio.
That like,
for
the future, mustn't we, Kel? Because it goes on a little bit. It goes quiet, doesn't it? That's when you think, as it goes quiet, it ends abruptly. That's what I said. Oh, it ended abruptly. I didn't realise that there was, that little speech that gentleman was making at the end there. So I felt rather embarrassed, but we'll make sure in future when we play, because we will play it in the future again, because it was a great tune.
Don't be. I like that one, and what I did is I put the entire collection of all the Warrior songs in the chat room for everybody.
Brilliant. So
and
there you go, guys. You've got them all now. I know Poppy will be, she loves all.
I even threw a dance party in Iraq for fun. You should play that sometime.
Absolutely super. I've just noticed he's breaking up a little bit. I think he has a few connection problems this side, Kel. Maybe it's not quite as the internet's not quite as good as it could be. But this happens, doesn't it? But never mind. We still got our Cheshire cat, Cheshire Green, haven't we, Tim?
Well, yes, indeed. I've passed the microphone over to Tommy and caught him eating his cornflakes both times tonight. I wonder if I can do a third one and grab a prize for having the for catching him unaware the most times on the radio show.
Oh,
no, that would be cruel. That would be cruel. But next time I shall pass the mic, and none of you will know who I'm going to pass it to. So you have to be on your toes, or you lot. So just in case,
be aware.
Yeah,
I'll be in the laundry room putting in the second load of laundry, and Tim will say, Kel. And it's like, oh, my God. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, I really don't do that. I promise you I don't. But, wow, we're getting through some really good topics, gentlemen. I think the one about the animals was very good to cover, and thanks for entertaining me for that, being the lady, and I use that term loosely, you know how I feel about our sentience, and I see the abuse that they are enduring under the realm of Islam, and I just have to say something about that. And Jeff, thank you for allowing me to do that. And
no, that's okay. I mean, we got to say, got to be quite humble that we do know, because with the RSPCA, reports on some quite horrific stories that we come across, but it's more prominent in the Islamic society, because they just, to them, animals don't mean as much as what they do to ourselves You know, this is the way that I look at it. As I say, you're always going to get cruelty amongst some sort of forms of society because it's just human nature, but sometimes it's very, very extreme, especially in the Islamic world. And that's what we really wanted to, because some people say, well, no, that's generalising, really. But no, I like to speak out and do the right thing and to say that, yes, we do know that there are cases, we do come across lots of cases with that sort of, the animal cruelty that does go on. But the thing about it is we have got the RSPCA in this country, and probably you've got something very similar in Canada and other countries like that. We've got something that protects the animals. But in Islam, they haven't got that sort of thing. So, and of course, our politicians, all these other people, would rather turn their backs to what's going on. But we, as the EDL, we want to speak out on these horrific things that happen in the name of Islam, ladies and gentlemen, because it's got to be said. It's got to be said. It's absolutely brutal. Some of the things that I've seen, and, I'm a hardened guy, but some things that I see, it makes me weep. I've wept over things like that and other things. Absolutely horrific things in the Islamic world, human against human. You know, the brutality, the total evilness of it. You know, see it up close and personal there, you know, having to watch these little clips that you see, you know, and the one that's been so prominent in everybody, there's not been too many people could not have missed it, was that one of those jihadists cutting out one of these Azad soldiers' hearts. So the cameras could see
the so-called Free Syrian Army. Yeah, the so-called Free Syrian Army, because we know that they were Al-Qaeda embedded. I don't think that those were Syrian rebels that did that. I'm sure that was definitely Al-Qaeda.
And this is what our Western politicians want to support. These type of people, these groups of people who totally brutalise other people. Don't forget what Putin once said to Obama. You know, how can we sort of, look at you in a way that you are supporting these people who quite willingly cut people's hearts out and eat them. And Obama didn't know. If he could have gone red, he'd have gone red. He was embarrassed because Putin told it exactly the way it is. That's what we're up against. These are co-animals. The people that we talk about, you know, there should be no other name for what they are. These co-animals, they shouldn't even be classed as an animal because animals wouldn't do that to another animal. That is the case. You know, but that is what we want to highlight, didn't we, Kel?
Yeah, and you're right about the videos. We come across a lot of things, and as you know, that I speak with Bonnie at Bare Naked Islam quite often because I'm sending her things, and she's sending me things back and forth, and as we go. And we were having a conversation one day, and I said, you know, what your website, it's pretty brutal. It is very, very raw, very hard-hitting. I said, how do you do it? She said that it's easy for her to do it because of her hatred of Islam is so deep. But she said the one thing that she has the biggest problem with is having to look at the videos of the animal torture within Islam. And she said, I don't even go through them all anymore because I can't take it. It just breaks my heart.
And that's exactly what I said, Kel. I've come across so many in my time, and I'm an animal lover like you, and like most of our listeners out there love animals, and see the actual brutality, especially the one that I saw a while ago, Kel, with the bloke, the Muslim, and he's cutting this cow's throat, and he's got a little kid standing at the side of him. He's got a big smile on his face, and I thought, my goodness me, you know, they're gleefully cutting this poor animal's throat, and it was absolutely one of those pictures that stays with you forever, ladies and gentlemen. You see these pictures, and we see them all the time, myself, Kel, Tim, Tommy, all of us have seen these absolutely inhumane things that goes on in the Islamic world. And that is the reason why we talk about it, because it is so It's so evil. Islam is evil. Kel, I've got to speak the way it is. I can't see anything. What good has Islam done since it's been around? What has it achieved? What has it done for humanity? I would say, if anything, it's a blot against humanity. I would say that it's crimes against humanity. If there would be a court one day and people who are brave enough, they should be put Islam on trial for crimes against humanity full time, what it's done over the 1400, nearly 1400 years.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And just to let you know that Tommy is back. Tommy is back.
Oh, welcome.
Before I want to pass the mic to Tommy because I have a question for him, if you don't mind, Jeff.
I
strongly suggest that people visit Mike Holt's website, and that is Restore Australia. He is very well versed in the treatment of animals within Australia and elsewhere. There is a great 25-minute video. I have it. I'll put it in the chat room in a moment. But we have Tommy back, and I wanted to ask Tommy a question. When we talk about the sentient and Tommy, and you see the halal slaughter and stuff like that going on, how does that make you feel?
Breaks my heart, to put it bluntly, because the thing is, the fact that the animal can still feel everything that's being done to them. Well, I mean, when they hang the poor animal upside down, cut its throat, reciting verses from the Quran, they can see an animal writhing in agony, just bleeding to death for 30 seconds. It's inhumane, and there is no... I mean, the RSPCA will do nothing about it. Lefties won't admit it's happening. And basically, the way how animals are meant to be slaughtered, they're meant to be done in the way that they can't feel it, basically getting put to sleep.
Stunned.
So,
stunned, Tommy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not a holy way of doing it. It's a satanic ritual way of doing it.
No, I'd like to say I totally agree with that, Tommy. And I think most of us, we do get a bit emotional when we see things like that. And most of us have. I know Tommy has. I know Kel has. Tim, you probably have. And it can't help it. We're only human. And we got human emotions, and it tears our heart apart when you see poor animals treated in that way. So that's why we speak out against this totally inhumane treatment against our animals. That's why we've made it such a prominent thing tonight that we discuss. This is one of the other evil aspects what we talk about in this cult called Islam, ladies and gentlemen. So it's only right that we explore some of the issues, and that is one of the issues tonight. What's the sentience, our sentience, my sentience, your sentiments, the panel sentence of what we see before us, and what's been happening, and how we can do something. Well, with us being a pressure group, a very high-powered pressure group, we can, if we keep pushing, we can change things. We can make things change. We can make people, instead of turning their backs, actually come to the forefront. But they just need to be brave enough and stand up and speak out on these terrible things that's happening. And as you say, the RSPCA won't go near it because they know that they come under all sorts of attacks themselves. We know it. It's Islam, rules by fear and intimidation. And if you speak out anything about what it does, you will come under the same sort of auspices as that. You will be a threat to Islam, and under that, you can have all sorts of problems. But we being the EDL, we're not going to shy away from people making threats and that. We will continue doing what we do. We will speak out about the cruelty to the animals and what goes on in Islam. We continue to speak out. They like it or not. Is what we continue to do. Tim, your views?
Yeah, well, I did touch on this briefly earlier on in the program, but I think it bears repeating again that what we're talking about with the exceptional cruelty that Muslims display is just an example of the moral inversion that characterizes Islam. Yes, at the moment we're concentrating on the aspect of the cruelty against animals, but cruelty is endemic within Muslim societies, and there's very little, I think, that can be done for us from a legal point of view. If we just say, well, we'll pass laws against it. I mean, we already have laws that should protect animals from the predations of Muslims in this country. Existing animal cruelty laws are there. But the fact is, and it's not just the animal cruelty laws, but Muslims don't seem to care very much for our laws because they're man-made laws. The only laws that a devout
exactly.
Muslim will recognize are the laws of Allah, Sharia law, and anything else is really usurping Sharia law, the law of the land, British law in our case, is really, as far as a devout Muslim is concerned, is secondary. And all the moral and traditional values that we have in our country are of really no great import to a devout Muslim. Which brings us, of course, to the point that how long do we carry on tolerating it in our country? Laws aren't going to have any effect on them. I think something much stronger is required. But, yeah, that's a symptom. The animal cruelty that we see is just a symptom of the moral inversion that exists within the Islamic world. Over to you, Tommy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, basically, come on. Our thing is, sorry, I'm stuttering there, so all these tablets I'm on it.
Caught you again. That's cornflakes three times in a row.
No, you didn't catch me out. I was alert for this one. I mean, I've just had a shot of me Lucas. It's waking me up a bit. It's the Muslim youth you've got to watch out for. They're the most radical ones. Basically, you've got the imams in the 40s and 50s who were teaching the 13, 14, 15-year-olds to go out there and do these acts. So basically, do we still have barstools in this country?
No, we don't, Tommy. They've not been around for about, about 20, 25 years. I think
they call them public schools now, don't they?
I spent 16 years in one then.
Go on, Tommy. Go on.
basically, sorry, I'm getting a bit chesty now. When you walk the streets and you see the adult Muslims, they don't seem to bat an eyelid. But when you see the teenager out there in large groups, on street corners, on the little bikes, in the cars, smoking weed, harassing you as you walk past, they're the ones you've got to watch out for. They're the ones who just... You could say those are the devout ones. They're the ones who are living the Islamic life the way they're getting told to, and then they're going to pass that on to their children and the grandchildren, and so on and so forth. It's a domino effect with it. Whereas when it comes to us, you just let your children do what you want, what they want to do when they get to a certain age.
I think that's a very good point you make there, Tom. You know, but that does seem to be the case. And I find that what I've been looking into, you find a lot of the cruelty comes from the teenagers, more so in the Muslim society. Would you not say that, guys? If you've checked and you look at the statistics, it does seem like some cats are being tortured, this, that, and the other. And they do seem to be young Muslim teenagers, don't they?
I think there's two factors there. I mean, one is that you're always going to get behaviour of that kind is going to be more predominant amongst the youth. I mean, it's that aspect of it is not necessarily confined to Muslims. Young children in many cultures are going to indulge in behaviour which, you know, we might not like very much. But,
I mean, Muslim youth or youth in general, Tim, choose your words carefully now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm talking about the first part of my point here was going to be talking about youth in general, where you're going to find a behaviour which is going to be pushing the envelope, pushing the boundaries, and that's always been true of youth in human society. But when you're talking about Muslim youth, you have to add into the mix the fact that they are very conscious that as far as their culture is concerned, Sharia law should take preference over the law of the land. Certainly amongst Muslim youth, we are starting to see a lot more children who are growing up with a much stronger viewpoint with regards to Sharia law and lot less respect for the law of the land of the host countries. And you see that's something you certainly see everywhere in Europe. I imagine it's going to be true in the United States and Canada as well, but certainly Muslim youth, and by youth I'm talking anything from about, I don't know, 14, 15 years old up to about early 20s, you are seeing a lot of criminal, antisocial and general unpleasant activity from that section of the community right across Europe. And that is...
I agree.
I mean, I won't say it's all to do with Islam, but a lot of it is because they have general disrespect for the way that we do things and our own traditions and values, which is why it just seems a lot worse.
I would like to just say, Poppy made she said something in the chat which I looked at. I thought I'm going to repeat it here. I think. This is what Poppy says. I think they are trying to take the Muslim youth farther back in time on teachings. I think she makes a very valid point there. Thank you, Poppy, for that. Very much so. Would you not say, Kel, yourself as well, that is the way it seems, that they're trying to put them back into the dark ages, you know, back into the way back way, like, they don't want to bring them forward, they don't want to enlighten these youth, they want them to live in the dark times. You know, they want them to stay in, you know, like that, because they're easier to manage, to make them to do the things that they do.
Well, they're afraid of progress. They're afraid of progress. They shun progress. They shun technology. They do all sorts of things. And we could get into an entirely different topic about how Obama shut down the NASA space program to make the Muslims feel better about themselves. But Poppy just sent me something here, Kim.
He did that for that. That's just unbelievable. Go on, Kel, sorry.
Okay. Yep, Tim, Poppy just sent this to me. The Criminal Justice Act of 1982 abolished the Borstal system in the UK, introducing youth custody centres instead. But as of December 31st of December 2011, there are 21 functioning Borstal schools in India with a combined total capacity for 2,218 inmates.
Oh, right, okay.
Well...
Oh,
well,
I wonder what would happen to the Borstal system.
So there is something I would like to say about the when it comes to, you know, the Islamic youth, and basically they're so that if you go off with another a girl or a boy from another religion, you're going to be cut out from this family. If you become a homosexual or a lesbian, you're going to be cut out of this family. It's such radical beliefs, where in my case, if I was to even go to school on my skateboard without my helmet on, my mum would go absolutely bar me. That's the main difference between Islamic parent and my parents. I mean, my mum used to say to me, OK, have a nice day at school, Tom, you got your helmet on? Yes. There we go, off without my helmet on, which is me being stupid. But basically, there is that difference, because Muslim parents are so strict that if they bring shame on their families, they have to be cut out, or, God forbid, they have to be honour killed.
There you go. Kel, I think Kel wants to say something what FDG was saying in the chat there. Kel, would you like to just mention what FDG has got to say?
Oh, yeah, this is interesting, and thanks, FDG, for this. He posted something, Halal for Life, and this is welcome, FG. This is welcome to Janann Meat. Janann Meat is one of the UK's leading providers of the highest quality halal lamb and mutton products. We select only the best quality British livestock and provide a fast and efficient service from our premises in the West Midlands to and for our customers across the UK and the continent, including France, Germany, Holland, and Italy. Traceability and quality assurance are paramount, and we are accredited by a number of well-recognized quality award schemes. Livestock in our central UK abattoir are treated to the highest standards of halal animal welfare and slaughtered by the Muslim slaughtermen in accordance with Islamic Sharia law. Jannan Meats halal business is based upon accountability and integrity with our halal customers. We have an open-door policy and have been visited by numerous Islamic theologians representing all schools of thought, Islamic fiqh, all of whom have provided their religious approval to Jannan Meat for halal slaughtering. Gentlemen, laugh on the dotted line.
Mm. Well, what can we say about that, yeah? And it seems that they've been in, you know, they've been given the big thumbs up from what the Islamic Society, and all, yeah. Of course, what we expect to hear from them, don't we, Kel? We don't expect nothing else than these people on these issues. It's just it's another whitewash, isn't it, the way they do things and that, and try to hoodwink people to think, oh, it's all cool, it's all right, it's no problem, like. But we know the inhuman way that animals are slaughtered in that way. All we say on this is what the EDL said. You know, why can't they use stun? Why can't they stun the animals, then kill them? Because the reason why, because it's the law. The law says that they want the animals, to be killed on the spot, basically. You know, with a knife to the throat, not to stun it. It doesn't. It needs to be wide away, and that's what I think so evil about it. The poor animal. I mean, animals sense things. Animals sense that they're going to be slaughtered. Just think of the fear, ladies and gentlemen, these animals when they're hung up and then they're slaughtered in the way. And as I say, it don't just take a minute or so. Sometimes it can take ages upon ages for an animal to die slowly and painfully.
2 minutes.
Exactly, 4 minutes. 4 minutes hanging upside down and your lifeblood dripping out, pouring out of you. I mean, it's absolutely horrific.
I was going to say, Jeff, there is a video on YouTube you can type it in. It's called From Farm to Fridge. It's about an Islamic slaughterhouse in, I think it's in America, actually. I might be in this country. I don't actually say. But watch it, guys, but watch it with your own discretion because it is absolutely violent. And basically, it's one of those videos where it's being flagged, so you've got to be signing to be over 18 to watch it. But if you want to watch it, guys, it's called From Farm to Fridge, but watch it at your own discretion. It was a half hour long, and it was a long half hour when I watched it when it came out about 2-odd years ago.
But sometimes people, our listeners and that, we say to, if you view these videos at all at your own discretion, and you will, if you're animal-loving people like we are, it will make you probably weep over it. But it's so important that you know exactly the reason why we feel so strong about the act of the how. We wouldn't mind if they stunned the animals, and then, you know, what they do with the, you know, produce, you know, the products and that, you know, label it up, and at least you know what products you're eating. So if you don't want to eat meat that's been, you know, halal slaughtered, that you've got a choice. We say things like that, you know, that should be done. But it's hard to put it in practice because there's so much money changing hands, and that's the reason. It's an uphill fight, isn't it, guys? That's our problem. But we'll continue. We'll continue to speak out on it.
I was only going to say that I know that Mike Holt of Restore Australia, who Kel mentioned a little earlier, he's been running quite an effective campaign against halal certification. If you go to his website, guys, which I'm sure Kel has got to hand, it's called Restore Australia. You could probably Google it and find the exact internet address there. But he not only has a couple of very good videos on his site detailing the ins and outs of halal certification and how it generates money, a lot of which goes towards funding terrorism, I might add. And I expect the same is as true over here as it is in Australia. But it's a complete and utter racket insofar as the halal certification companies, which aren't necessary for any reason except to make money for Muslim groups, the halal certification companies will approach meat processing companies and they'll say you need to be halal certificated or registered, because if you're not, you know, strange things can happen. You know, nice little meat processing company you've got here, be a shame if anything was to happen to it. And what they are basically implying is you'll either lose a lot of business or various undesirable things will happen to your company if you don't fall into line and comply with halal certification. And it's nothing short of a mafia-style racket. And for listeners to this program, of course, that shouldn't really come as any news, because Islam is a mafia-style organization. That's basically the principles on which it operates. Fear, violence, terror, and intimidation are the hallmarks of Islam in exactly the same way as they're the hallmarks of the mafia. So there's no surprise there at all. But Mike Holt of Restore Australia runs quite an effective campaign making people aware of the halal racket, and also he produces it's quite a good strategy he's got. He's producing stickers which he then sends out to people.
Yes.
You can buy I don't know 1,000 stickers or whatever, and you go around, you just stick these little stickers anywhere that makes people aware. And it doesn't have to be on the food itself. It can be on or around any solid structure that's round about eye level where people can see them. And apparently these are absolutely driving the Muslims nuts in Australia. They're going around trying to rip these halal stickers off these various lampposts and shop windows and so on as fast as people are sticking them up.
Yeah, I've got to admit, Mike and the good people there are doing a great job. Power to Mike
yes,
and everybody
indeed.
Else associated with the sticker campaign. God bless them all.
That could be the way forward for something like this. Because before anything can happen, the general public have to be made aware, because if they're not aware, they can't put pressure on the politicians to do something about it or to vote them out of office and put in somebody who does do something about it. So that might just be something to think about. And if some of our listeners...
I agree, Tim. As I say, it could be a strategy that we move forward with ourselves. So the great idea from our dear friend Mike Holt there. But what I was going to say, guys, we are coming down. We've got too far to go for the end of the show this evening. But there's a couple of things that we want to do. I'm going to pass it back to Kel. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back just after, just for the last quarter of the show. With that, over to you, Kel.
Thanks, Jeff. And just to let everybody know, there is a demonstration coming up. We got a demo coming on February 1st, and that is at Slough. And once again, our Martin Hive came through, and he put this promo together. So listen, and I have the YouTube video on another page, Jeff. I will post that in the chat room for everybody to read.
Thank you,
so here we go.
And good. Thank you.
Okay.
EDL News. On the 1st of February, the English Defence League will be holding a peaceful protest in Slough to draw attention to the Council's decision to approve the building of a new Islamic centre in the area. The centre will be funded by a Muslim group who openly supported the murder of a Pakistani politician who was opposed to the country's blasphemy laws. A law where anyone who criticizes Islam could face execution, which is common in many Muslim-majority countries. even though local residents were opposed to the building of an Islamic center funded by this group and drew up a petition against it, the project was still given the go-ahead by the local council. A resident, who did not wish to give her name for fear of being attacked, said, "This is not just a local issue. All across the country, the British public's concerns are being ignored by local councils and MPs as more and more of these unregulated Islamic centres are being built against local residents' wishes." A spokesman for the English Defence League said that while mosques and Islamic centres all across the country continue to be unregulated by our government, there is always a risk that the teaching of verses from the Quran that call for the murder of non-Muslims, verses that the killers of Lee Rigby quoted after he was hacked to death on a London street, could be used to radicalize more and more Muslims and turn them into terrorists. The English Defence League will once again be holding a peaceful protest to draw the public's attention to these problems, just as we have held protests in the past against the epidemic of Muslim paedophile gangs and attacks on British troops. He also stated that contrary to what the mainstream media would have the British public believe, the English Defence League is not about race, and it is proud to have black, Asian, Jewish, gay, and all kinds of members. And if people visit our website, our Facebook pages, or watch our videos on YouTube, they will see this is true. The English Defence League exists because our politicians are unwilling to deal with these problems, so it has been left to people like us, ordinary men and women from all different backgrounds, to highlight these problems in the hope that something will be done. He also added that if anyone is concerned about Muslim terrorism, unregulated mosques, paedophile gangs, or any of the issues that our politicians seem unable to deal with, then you are welcome to come and join us in Slough on February the 1st, no matter who you are or where you come from.
There you go. That was the EDL news with our very own Mr. Martin Hyde there. Absolutely
Andy
super.
Great
I love that.
Without my permission.
Tommy, I think that is absolutely superb. EDL news. I love that. It sounds like the news at 10 something, doesn't it?
Oh, it's great. Absolutely. I was speaking on the forum. He's really good at it, but it's just a shame he's working abroad. You know, it's just a massive time difference between us.
Yeah, well, as I say, that is a thing. But the good thing about it is he's still putting his great videos together, Tommy, and doing the great audio as well, a great orator. So thank you, Martin. And as I say, that really was stirring stuff, the way that Martin does it. Would you not say, Kel? He's so good at what he does.
He's brilliant. He inspires me. I have nothing but... Wait, what's that, Tommy?
You didn't sound very inspired then. Oh, he inspires me.
Oh, baby. I do, though. I have nothing but...
By the way, Kel, thank you very much for that message on our No Way Nantes show last night.
What you're wearing. I know what you're wearing. Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, yes, I forgot to bring this up in the chat. Our Tommy was on No Way 90 last night at the Reactionary Speaks Network. He was there speaking about the issues of Islam and in the UK with No Way. That is last night. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go into Reactionary Speaks page, and I'm going to post that in the chat room. But yes,
thank you,
Martin Clive, I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. Absolutely, Jeff.
Absolutely. That was classic. That was, and don't forget, guys, February the 1st, Slough. That is the big demonstration is coming up, and that's a national. So be there, guys, and if you're not
is
sure.
Mandatory.
Yeah, there you go, buddy.
And you,
yeah,
Jeff,
you're say...
not this health stuff. You're going as well. And you, Tim. And
oh,
you.
Well, yeah. I haven't been to Slough for ages. I'll be good.
Slough.
Well, neither have I. It'll be an experience for both of us. But, guys, do you know we're going back to Walthamstow this year?
We're going back to Walthamstow?
We certainly are.
Sounds a very interesting prospect there, Tommy. So there you go, guys. As I say, we keep you up to news. And say, Martin Hive, gracious day at the show this evening with a little promo for EDL News, that was tonight. The EDL News, the future upcoming.
Well, yeah, and of course, it's. I was going to say, it's well worth mentioning. We should really be thinking about an EDL weather report as well. I think we did start
of Islam.
Yeah, that's right. We did have one last October, and we haven't had one since then. So I think I'd better give you a quick EDL weather report. It'll only take a couple of minutes. The black cloud of Islam continues to loom over Western Europe. Around lunchtime prayers on Friday, Muslims are likely to become severely offended with an 80% chance of rioting and an increased chance of anti-Christian and anti-Jewish thunderstorms. This is likely to lead to showers of appeasement blowing in from central government over the next few days. As a consequence, the winds of our diversity training will blow up and down the country and across the continent. However, there is some good news. We can rely on the EDL to provide a few rays of sunshine and sanity on Thursday, Friday and Sunday evenings, bringing with them the associated bright light of truth. This bright light will dawn on people during and after each episode, helping to dispel the black clouds of Islam and slowly but surely driving them back towards the Middle East. That concludes the weather report for today, Sunday, the 19th of January at 20:30 GMT.
Now we return to our regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, I missed
that
bit.
That was really good, Tim. I did like that. So basically, it's just, guys, take an umbrella with you tomorrow and make sure it's got a pointy end of it.
Yeah. My goodness, that was a collective of all our listening audience out there right away across the globe giving you a round of applause for the weather report. And the that was a really quite... quite moving, that was.
Silence! I kill you!
Oh, he's bloody got in. Oh, Kel, chuck him out again. How did he creep through this time? We got
Agnes
bloody bodyguards on the bloody door.
Hang on,
oh,
I'm working
God.
On it.
Hang on, Agnes,
get over here.
What's that package there, Kel? Kel, be careful with that package.
Oh, you leave my package
out. Oh,
it's not
exploding underpants there, are they? And in bloody slippers. He keeps leaving his
this
sandals there,
business,
guys.
This is a place of business, not a peewee flop house.
Oh, dear.
And it, babe, he gets everywhere. Comes in here, screams out, silence, I kill you. And then he gets thrown out, and then he leaves his sandals on that little bloody bag there, exploding underpants. We can't have this, guys.
Well, Jeff,
I want
Jeff,
more security.
Remember Isagum? Didn't he? He was like that, wasn't he? Isagum.
Yeah, very much so. But he was dealt with roughly as well. His backside moved so quick through the door there, he had left his sandals and his satchel behind.
Very good.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, my goodness me, once again, we are right down to the last part of the show. Guys,
the show. Good night. Oh, God bless. Stay safe.
No, wait for it. Wait for it. Stand back.
Wait for it.
Be gone. Settle down now. Now, I would like to thank everybody that's been associated with the show this evening. Tim, Kel, Tommy, and everybody else that's in the chat room and say, we haven't had, Kel, we haven't done a rundown of everybody. But guys, Kel, have we got time to do a quick rundown? Have we got?
Yeah, we do. Okay. We do. And I'll do that
okay,
right now.
Please.
And ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, you're listening to the East Anglian Idio Radio Show, heard right here on Block Talk Radio, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 8:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Okay?
On midnight after
go, Kel.
Well, we have Jeff, of course, who is the host of the East Anglian Idio Radio Show, and his panelists joining him this evening is Tommy English, Tim Burton, and Kel Fritzy. And in the chat room, we have A12 Iggy Mum joining us. We have Bigfoot Kath, Cat Strangler 101, which is Tim, and I you know what? I always do that. Meow. We have Echo. We have FDG. We have numerous guests. Thank you very much, guests, for being here. We have Holger Awakens, Paul Alexander.
Yeah,
we have our Poppy from across the sea who lives too far away from me, and that makes me sad because I cannot have tea in her kitchen. We have Silky that just joined us. And, of course, we have one of the voices of who does wonderful works for everybody, doing promos and so on and so forth, and that is Stanger73.
Yeah.
And, of course, last but never least, we have Sue from New Mexico, who works so hard to ensure that our programs get out there in the tweet sphere, as it were. But I, in particular, have been clicking on the links, and in particular, we really have to thank FDG and Paul Alexander
yes.
for the links that they sent our way.
Thank
and
you,
ladies and gentlemen, if you have a program or a blog, please post it in the chat room so that everybody can
please
enjoy
do.
Them.
Thank you so much, Kel, for the readout from everybody in the chat room this evening. Thank you guys for being here again tonight. And once again, we'll be back again this Thursday. It's been, I would say, an absolutely enthralling night tonight with some of the issues. And it was really quite busy in the chat room. It was very animated, I would say. So thank you so much for being here tonight. And we'll be back again this Sunday. So for myself, from Kel, who is tonight, what is it, Kel Polar, Polar, was it? Vortex, is it? Polar Vortex?
That's
the
me.
The cat string. And, of course, our very own Tommy English. Good to see you this evening, Tommy. Thank you for being part of the panel and a co-host. So, and so we'll be back again this Thursday. So, for myself, from everybody else, good night, take care, stay safe. And as we all say...
What is it again?
Oh, yeah.
No surrender ever.
Oh, yeah.
No surrender ever.
Good night, guys.
I'm tired.
See you on Thursday.
Good night,
Jeff. Good night, Tommy. Good night, Tim.
Good night, Steve.
Good night, everybody.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I got to the point things happening here. Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging green and black. 3 years of what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't place your trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets, but I don't give up. Tomorrow, la 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 la.
once again, we're into the archive edition of the show. The live part of the show is over, and we're into the archives.
Archive.
So, the time, as I will say, I don't know how many times I've said it over the time, but it was an amazing show tonight. At the time, went by so quick. There were so many things that we discussed tonight. And I hope everybody enjoyed what we put together tonight for this show. I think it was quite educational, because we do educate people on some of the nastiness that goes on within the Islamic cult of theirs, isn't it, that we were discussing this evening.
I think it's important not just to highlight the nastiness, but to try and inform people how that nastiness develops. I mean, it's all very well, we can list the things that happen, and there's no end to them, to be honest. You could spend the entire 2 hours just listing the nasty things that actually Muslims get up to. But I think it does bear looking at it when you go behind the scenes a little bit more and delve into what makes them so cruel in comparison to the civilized people that we are in comparison. And there's no question about it, you know, we're not just talking about a clash of civilizations that some people have described Islam when it runs up against Judeo-Christian civilizations. It isn't just a clash of civilizations as such. It's a meeting of civilization against barbarity, and that's what we've got.
Yes.
We've got the barbarians at the gates. As I've said many times before, no matter what flaws our own civilization might have, and by that I'm talking about Judeo-Christian civilization primarily, it's far and away a far better civilizational model than anything that Islam has ever provided or is ever likely to provide in the future. And we have to bear that in mind when we're fighting Islam. We're not just talking about two civilizations that are morally equivalent. They're not morally equivalent at all.
No.
With Islam, you're looking at a complete moral inversion. And everything that we consider to be good and beautiful and truthful within our civilization, it's just the complete inverse in Islam. And it's worth bearing that in mind when somebody says to you, why are you fighting? It's worth bearing that in mind.
Yeah, I would say that that is the case totally, Tim. That, in fact, it's not about... in Islam, it's not about moving forward, it's staying stuck in the same position and not wanting to better yourselves, better civilization, trying to achieve the great things, medicines, things like that, things that's made, us who we are today, moving forward, enlighten people. We want to move forward. We don't want to be stuck in some murky, barbaric past. It's not the way that we want to do business. We know that we need to progress. We need to move on. It's all part of what we're all about. If there's a mountain to climb, we'll climb it. If there's a distant star, one day we'll travel to it. That is it's what we've always been about, isn't it, Tim? And these people don't really move from one spot. They just want to stay where they are. They just want to cause as much chaos and mayhem as possible and try to, add this black flag flying.
I think you're absolutely right there, Jeff. And I think it is worth looking at the bigger picture. We see an awful lot about Islamic atrocities they're reported in the mainstream media every day, although they don't always say it's Islam that's behind it. They'll say a bomb went off as if it went off all on its own. And they'll talk about inter-religious violence as if it's always equal people or equal numbers of people on either side that are causing the violence. But
deflect,
we know
is the word, isn't it, Tim?
Partially. Yeah, but it's worth looking at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact that the complete moral inversion. I know that's a phrase that I've used three or four times tonight, but it bears repeating, because it lies at the heart of what we're seeing. We're seeing something that is a completely alien and hostile ideology when you compare it to the Judeo-Christian traditions and values. And there are far too many people in our political elites and mainstream media who will make excuses for it and say, oh, it's you know, there's no such thing as good and evil, things are only relative. And the minute you start accepting that argument, you're on the way to losing. There is such a thing as good and evil.
I think,
and we need to be fighting evil on the side of good.
I agree. I was going to say, I know we've got Sue listening. Sue, if you want to call in, please do. You know you're welcome, and we always like to hear your views on things. And sometimes she likes to just after, you know, when we go into archive. So if you want to call, please do. We'll be here for about another 10 minutes or so. So you're welcome. But some good points there, Tim. That's what I was saying. Sometimes after we've done our main shows, it's amazing how we start getting going into other different things that you know that we can be discussing on this part of the show. And some of it's very interesting. So some of our listeners out there listen to the archives. I think they enjoy it. And sometimes we let our hair down a little bit. We have a bit of a laugh and joke, and I think that's what we do tend to do. We wind down a little bit from the main show, and then we do openly discuss different things, don't we? Which I really do enjoy doing with yourself, Tim and Kel.
Well,
your views?
Yeah. Kel?
Oh, sorry.
Kel.
You were putting the laundry on, weren't you? I know. You were putting the laundry on.
She was eating the cornflakes.
Actually, I was downloading something in the studio. I was looking at something shiny.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say was that I actually took the opportunity today to sort of throw the microphone back and forth a couple of times. I should perhaps have told Tommy that's what I was going to do, because I caught him unaware a couple of times and hit him with the microphone on the back of the head while he was busy having his cornflakes. So I'll have to apologise.
He's an old pro now, he's used to it.
Well, yeah, but I think making a conscious effort to do that does sort of help passing the microphone around a bit, and I think it did make for a slightly smoother show tonight, even if
I think we've done it quite fairly, didn't we, tonight?
It was a really good show. It was fantastic, and I really like the idea that I seem to have taken on a new role with the radio program, in that I bring a topic to the table and share it, and everybody can have a comment about that. I like that role. I like doing that. I like moderating the chat room, and I love screening calls. I think that I'm really in my happy place when I'm here, Jeff and Tim.
Well, that's
good of you.
I'm pleased to know. As I say, that's what we like to do. We like to. There's a topic that we can really get to grips with, and we can talk about it, you know, get a few people call in. It'd be nice to have had a couple of people call in tonight, wouldn't it, sort of thing, you know, to comment on it. But what we had was, I think, a great show. But guess what? Our own Sue is calling in. Thank you, Sue.
Yay!
Sue. It's good. I hope you don't mind. I spoke to you for a little while, and so I thought I'd invite you into our little bit on the show this evening. So hope you're well, Sue.
Oh, yes, I am, and thank you so much. You know, it was a hard show for me to listen to parts of it, because I have such a great love of animals, and I just can't even watch the videos of what they do. And I think it's indicative of, you know, Islam. And they just have no value for life whatsoever.
No.
You know, that is completely missing from their souls.
They sure don't,
yeah.
Sue.
What I was going to say, Sue, it was hard because you're like myself, you're like Kel, you're like Tim and Tommy. We're all animal lovers. But it's only right that sometimes we've got these topics that needs to be discussed, because this is other aspects of what we find within Islam. Yeah, as I said earlier on, we do know that there are cruelty cases. We get in our own countries, going away from the Islam issue. But in general, it's not talked about as much as what goes on with Islam. The cruelty that goes on there is just unbelievable, and it goes unabated. That's the problem. RSPCA won't touch them. You know, we got the RSPCA over here. Sue, I don't know. You've probably got something very similar in the United States. Yeah, and the thing is, they don't touch it. They don't touch the Islamic issues, do they, whatsoever? They're scared to even go there because implications.
We have PETA, which is a really big animal rights, and they go after everybody and everything, and save the whales and everything you can imagine. But never once have I heard them address this problem. Never.
Sue, that is so true. That's right. And PETA, pardon me, that's the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And you're right, Sue. They go after the fur coat wearers or whatever.
Yeah.
They're very political, quite the activist group. But Sue is right. They do not go after halal. That's interesting.
They're too scared. Let's be honest. We know, as we've mentioned so many times on the show, that Islam rules by fear and intimidation, blackmail, whatever you want to call it. It has all those, it's a bit like what Tim said, like the Islamic mafia. That's the sort of the rule, the tyrannic sort of thing that Islam puts upon people. Even if you to speak out against cruelty to animals, you can guarantee that you might have a little office somewhere, that your headquarters or whatever it might be, it might get firebombed, it might get ransacked, it might have all sorts of things done simply because you are speaking out against the cruelty of animals. You could come under all sorts of things. And that's what we said. This is the problem that we got. People are too scared to speak out against it. But we will. We'll continue. I'm not worried about these people whatsoever. As far as I'm concerned, it needs to be spoke about. And it does need brave people to speak up and to talk about these things. You know, it's got to be said and done, isn't it, guys? We got to do as we do because... You know, we do know, as I say, the fear factor. People just are put right off of speaking about the things that we discuss simply because it can cause them, career, as Tim said on quite a few times, a career buster, couldn't it, Tim? It can destroy your career.
Very often, yes, we have to get rid of the political correctness and multiculturalism that holds people back from speaking. I mean... I personally am quite fortunate in that I don't have that particular concern because I'm not in at the kind of organisation that would cause me a problem in that respect. But a lot of people who I'm sure feel just as strongly as I do, just as strongly as we all do, are held back from speaking out, and they shouldn't be. That's quite a wrong. It's a wrong thing that they are constrained because of the politically correct multicultural environment they find themselves in. People should always be free to speak out against evil amongst us, and we have at the moment, we're living through times where there is this great evil, and it's doing its very best to prevent people speaking about it openly. And, you know, to be fair, it's been fairly successful up to now. But more and more people are finding ways in which they can speak out, even if it's under conditions of anonymity. And I think as long as we are all aware of the evil, we can overcome it and we can ultimately defeat it. It won't happen overnight. It's a long-term struggle. But we are making progress, without a doubt. Without a doubt, we're making progress.
It certainly is. And that's what I'm saying. We've got, I always make a mention for a lot of our unsung heroes out there, a lot of people that have got to, you know, quite important jobs, and they very much support our cause, but they can't be seen in a public, in the public view as much. But we got great scriptwriters, people like that, who in the background doing so much, so great works, and I salute them all, Tim. You know, because there's a lot of great people out there who does great works on our behalf, and they are the unsung heroes. There is a, when I talk about a silent majority, there is a silent majority out there, definitely. And there you go. We had the silent majority speaking loud, and we got to mention that on that Sunday show. 95% of the people spoke about the EDL, that they would like them to see a forum, that the EDL have got a platform to speak instead of having our things stifled and shut down and shut up. And that was echoed loud and proud across the world. The world knows sort of thing now that people do want to see different change. It's quite obvious people want change in this country, Tim. That's what it said to me. People want change. They're fed up with the same old, same old. People like the David Camerons, the Nick Cleggs and all those other wasters out there want to see people with backbone. Which they're so sadly lacking with the politicians we've got. But anyway, that's another. You know me, I'm not. As I say, the good thing about being a part of our organisation is we're not politically orientated as such. There's no group that we're align ourselves. I mean, I speak well of Paul Weston and Liberty GB because it's the only sort of party out there that I would think, you know, there's a little bit with what Paul's doing and what is great the Liberty GB's doing. In the future, a few years down the line, who can say? Be winning votes here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Indeed. And they are actually fielding Paul Weston as a candidate in the European elections this year. Anybody out there who's listening who can support, in especially with the contribution towards the deposit that every party has to put down for the European election, any party that wants to stand has to put down a £5,000 deposit. So if anybody is able to, just go to the Liberty GB website, and if you've got a donation that you can make, there is a place on the website you can support Liberty GB for the European election. We need change in our political system, without a doubt. Yep. And Liberty GB is, certainly in this country, I think is the only political party able to deliver it.
Yeah,
Tim, being such a humble man... Tim is a very humble man, but we are all apprised of Tim is being taken to trial in February. Paul Weston has graciously also set up a donate campaign to free the Birmingham One, and you can go to libertygb.org.uk, and it's right there on the page. You will see the donate buttons to help Paul Weston raise £5,000 for their Euro election deposit, and you can also donate to help Liberty GB's Tim Burton against hate crime charges. Donate now to his legal fund.
Oh, yes, please.
Well,
That's something that I didn't like to promote myself, but yes, if anybody can help.
That's my job.
Thank you, Kel.
Well,
if anybody
can help
the legal defence, it would be much appreciated.
Tim, you're a great guy, and you're a great part of our plan here, and as I say, anything that we can do, if we promote you week in, week out, and we will do, we'll continue to do that, and the good people out there, if you listen to the show, guys, Tim's he's standing, he's speaking on behalf of a lot of us, what he's going to be doing on that day, he speaks on behalf of us all. Anybody that's associated with what we do within the English Defence League will know exactly what we're talking about. So please donate to the Liberty GB, not only to Paul Weston, but with his European debut sort of thing, but to Tim with his legal costs and that. Of course, you know what, guys? It always is quite an expensive venue if you go up and in law courts, as you know. So any money would be appreciated.
Can I share something regarding Liberty GB?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a picture of Paul Weston up there, and I didn't like it. So I sent him an email. I said, this is the picture I love the most of you. And he changed the picture, and he put the picture I sent him up.
Well, there you go.
Well, isn't that nice?
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about that Paul is that he listens to people. He's not like the normal type politician. Paul listens to people, what they say. If you say, oh, I don't like it, he'll try to sort of, I can do something a little bit different. Or, you know, he's very obliging like that. Very, very nice guy. So, great stuff there. It's good to see he done that, Kelly.
He certainly knows who I am. He knows that I'm that loudmouth Mad Fox.
Oh, that's it.
Well done, Kel. Well done.
There you
well,
go.
Well done. But, Sue, what do you think of our Tim having to go through that legal wrangle of going to court over this so-called hate crime? What do you think about it?
You know, I think it's just ludicrous. It's almost unbelievable. You know, I think things are bad in the United States, but then when you look at, you know, the UK and just that little bit that he said and all this expense and the trial and what he might face, it's mind-blowing. That's what it is. And, Tim, my prayers are with you.
Well, thank you very much, Sue. I do appreciate that. What I do say to people is it is quite a serious charge. This is racially aggravated harassment, and it does carry, if you're found guilty, it can carry a lengthy prison sentence. And, it's not to be sort of taken lightly, but at the end of the day, I'm not that concerned about my own acquittal or conviction. That's a secondary thing, really. The primary thing is the gradual loss of our freedoms, and particularly freedom of speech. And this is what I'm going to be standing up in court and talking about. If they're going to find me guilty, they're going to find me guilty in the face of a very passionate speech in defence of our freedoms, and that's what I hope will come out of it all. So I'm not too worried about me personally, but I do appreciate your thoughts and prayers there, Sue, so thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll be with you. Is there any way we'll get to hear your speech that you're going to give?
Well, I don't know, because you're not allowed to record in British courtrooms. You're not allowed to record the proceedings. I mean, that's not to say that you can't sort of take notes. And if somebody is there and they can take shorthand, then they will be able to get a transcript of what I say, but it won't be one of these like Edward G. Robinson moments that you see in the movies, where he stands in the courtroom and brings the house down. But if there is somebody there who can take shorthand, then there will definitely be a transcript, I'm sure, that will make its way onto the internet within the day. So no matter what happens, I'm hoping everybody will get to hear about it.
And and later down history, you'll be able to read Tim's memoirs of that time, won't you, Tim?
Well, I mean, it's quite crucial, because the reason this is being brought is not so much that the guy found himself threatened or harassed by me, because that's the crux of the matter. He says he felt threatened and harassed. Now, my defence is he didn't feel anything of the sort. He, in fact, he needs me to make comments like that, because if he doesn't get enough comments to put on his online hate crime database, he resorts to fraudulently manipulating the statistics. That's what he does. He's a fraudulent manipulator of statistics, and he's been exposed as such. He's basically a lying, cheating, fraudulent scumbag. That's his job.
Exactly.
Okay? That's his job description.
And why, if that's the case, Tim, all you've done is covered ground that the Andrew Gilligan of the Daily Telegraph actually stated. How come that he hasn't took it in his favour to maybe take the Daily Telegraph or even the government for withdrawing his funding? How come he's got to pick on an individual person like himself who was only mimicking what's been said?
I mean, the answer to that is because he can. He's got form for this, okay? He's got a track history of persecuting individuals who are in the remotest bit critical of Islam or the Quran or the Prophet Muhammad. But I've gone further than that. I've actually pricked his ego. I've shredded his dignity, and that's pissed him off no end. And that's why he's trotted down to his local police station to register the complaint against me. And he's said to them that he felt it was threatening and harassing. I mean, obviously he didn't feel that, but he felt that that would.
Would you think that he had a bit of backup from the Muslim Brotherhood? Tim, would you say that they're in his corner?
Oh, I'm sure they are. Maybe. Without a doubt, every Muslim group is out there hoping he'll win the case. But he's on relatively shaky ground, because I can demonstrate, and I will be arguing strongly in court, that I was not motivated by an intention to harass or to threaten.
Anyway, that's got to be proved anyway.
It's going to depend on who is on the bench on the day. If I've got three Muslim magistrates, I'm going to be in trouble no matter what.
Well, we shall see. But as I say, the case has still got to be proved one way or the other. And it could be that it ends up being thrown out because it's just not worth the taxpayers' money, is it? You know, or whatever. It could be like that. I do think that what you've done is really made aware to the whole of the world, basically. You know, especially on the internet, as exactly. The plight of people, when you speak out against this, what happens to you? You know, you get dragged down to the police station and you get charged, and you have to appear in the court over some stupid charge. It shouldn't have been put in the first place. I mean...
For some people it would be absolutely devastating, and I'm sure that's what he was relying on, because when he pressed the charges, I'd never even been on Blog Talk Radio, but by the time the police got themselves into gear, of course, I was not only I'd not only been on EDL Radio, but on Red Fox, and involved with Liberty GB as well, and I'm sure he never even bargained for that. He was picking on me because he felt that I was the sort of person who would just roll over and plead guilty. I'm sure it was, because he's done it before.
Yeah.
But I'm fighting back. I'm not going to give up. And even if I were to be found guilty in the magistrates' court, I would appeal it to what they call a crown court over here, where you do actually get a chance to be heard in front of a judge and jury. And if it comes to that, that's what I'll do, because I am not going to roll over and take it.
Good on you, Tim. No, you shouldn't. And it's a principle there as well, mate. I stand by that with you, mate, anyway. We shall see how it all pans out, Tim. You know, it's the trials and tribulations of being a part of the anti-jihadist movement as we are.
Oh, it is.
This is sometimes the, what you call occupational hazard, know that the I'm saying it loosely, you know, speaking.
I view it as a sign that we are becoming more effective. The more that they try and squash the little people, as I would call them, the more they go after little people because they can, the more of a sign of a desperation it is. And you've only got to look at some of the articles that Tell Mama UK has published since I was arrested. They know, you can tell by the tone of the articles, you know that they are desperate to find anything at all to make the counter-jihad movement look bad. They've tried only in the last 4 or 5 days to produce an article to make Liberty GB look bad, and from an intellectual point of view, it's completely dishonest. It's as full of holes as a Swiss cheese, and I've put a counter-argument out on the internet to refute what they've said, and I posted the first draft on Liberty GB website, and I think I sent a draft to you as well, Kel, for publication, didn't I, on Red Fox?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and Red Fox, of course, is where you need to go if you're going to get the latest of what's on the street, straight from the horse's mouth. You've got to go in the
and,
Red Fox.
Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know that I have an archived blog, and that is Red Fox Blogger at blogspot.com. I have a new blog which is active, and that is R.E. Fox at R.E. Fox Blogger at blogfox.com. I will ensure that I update all the links in Red Fox Blogger Radio, Freedom Loving Infidels on Radio Jihad Network as well.
Excellent.
There you go. Thank you, Kel.
Thanks.
But as I say, Sue, it's been great for you to call in tonight, and I know it's a bit moving, some of the stuff that we talked about on the show earlier, but it's so good to take your call this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You know, you're a busy lady and that, and we've got to thank you once again for all the work that you do. You're very busy.
Well, thank you. It's been wonderful to talk to all of you. And, you know, I'm just doing a small part, getting people to our shows, because how else can people find out the truth? It's these shows.
I would agree, Sue. And what you do, it might only seem a little bit that you do, but it's amazing. You do so much. The great work that you do, you probably only think it's a little bit. But it's like us all, we all do our bit, and it's amazing, just little cogs to make that big machine work, and that's exactly what we're all doing, every single one of us. We're in this together, we're in for the long haul. We know it's not going to, you know, the things that we want to see right in the world isn't going to just take overnight and everything be all right in the morning. This is going to take a long haul. It's what Tim said earlier. And I think that's where we look at it. We're in for the long haul, and we will prevail in the end. We will prevail. Maybe I might not see the time, but I know my future generation will see it, and I think that's the way. Well, you've got to have that positive way when we move forward, because there's a lot of darkness out there, and we are the beacon of light. We shine the light out there, and people like the light, don't they?
Well, yeah.
And we don't like living in the dark like this. Am I right, Tim? We like the
light. Well, definitely. Yeah. And I will make a point when the light of truth and sanity returns to the political landscape. The very first thing I will be campaigning for is tax relief on cardigans and dressing gowns. So that's just for you, Jeff.
Oh my God!
Right up, merchant. Sell, take his name. Sell, take his instable donation. Can you hear him?
Get kicked out of here any minute.
Can you hear him? What's he like? No, Tim.
What
that's
he
funny,
like?
Kel, take his name anyway.
Okay, I'll write it in ink for you, Jeff.
I don't think you're right up, merchant. You really are.
I don't
are.
Think Jeff's going to be happy unless you write it in blood, Kel, to be quite honest.
Tim, I'm not like that. You know I'm not.
That's
Tim, anyway, thank you for the liberty You always make me laugh, and you're a right bloody wind-up merchant, mate. Appreciate it.
We love Liberty.
Yeah, great show tonight, yeah. Everybody. Great show.
But thank
actually,
you so
it is
much,
nice
Tim.
To end
you know,
on a note.
You do make me laugh.
Note.
Kel, you've been great tonight and give me little messages. And thank you so much for all the work that you do. And Sue and Tommy and everybody that's associated with this show tonight. I was wondering, Kel, have we got a tune that we can say goodnight to everybody with this evening? Thank
and
so
that's
much.
What I was doing when Tim passed me the mic. I was on another page.
He's been
I was
a bugger tonight, and he's
shiny.
He's
but
been
I
a bugger tonight.
passing the mic in appropriate moments.
I did download a closing song, and I think Sue will like this very much. I think everybody will like this very much. And whenever you want me to play it, Jeff, I will. But what I did is I downloaded a song, and it's a nice song. It's an upbeat song, and it conveys our happy love of our animals, our sentient beings, those that are having the power of sense, perception, or sensation, consciousness. These are our creatures. These are God's creatures. We love them all. And unlike the Islamic realm, we treasure them. So I downloaded a song,
Amen.
And I think Sue will really like it too.
Thank you, Kel.
Okay, but...
Sue,
well,
you bet.
I'd like to thank you on behalf of that anyway, Kel, and Tim, and Sue. Thank you all so much for this evening. So, as I say, this is the East Anglian ZDL radio show. We're signing off for this evening, but we won't be away too long. We'll be back again this Thursday. Same
four
time,
more
same seats. Place.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go. And with that, over to you, Kel. And from us all,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen out there, wherever you might be, no surrender.
No
surrender.
No surrender.
Never. No surrender.
Over to you,
Kel. Good night, Jeff and Tim.
Good night.
Good night,
yeah, good night,
Kel.
Good night.
And I'll be talking
night,
with you tomorrow, Tim,
yes,
over
indeed.
At the Red Fox Blogger. There
yes, you
go.
Certainly will.
This is, it was quite a heavy topic that we delved into tonight, and I wanted to end the program on something very cute and very happy, and of course, it involves a fox. This is Chuckles the Fox, who feels like dancing. Good night, guys.
Oh, great.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
Steve.
Good
night. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Chuckles. How are you today? Good morning. Good morning.
Just like the golden fire, when all you do is change, it's all there for that first try. Good chuckles.
I was just going to inform just the listeners before we say goodnight, Kel, that what you could hear, ladies and gentlemen, in the background was a little fox, and it's called Chuckles. It's a little female fox, a beautiful little fox it was, and that was what was making that, what you could hear. It was like laughing, wasn't it, Kel?
Yeah.
I think it's a nice way to end up the show for this evening, so we've talking about the animals and that this evening, and it's a nice way to end the show. So, Kel and Sue, I'm going to end this episode now. Good night. God bless you both, and I'll speak to you soon, Kel. Okay? Speak to you soon.
Absolutely, Jeff. And sweet good. Sue, you have a wonderful evening. We'll see you back Thursday at the East Anglian EDL Radio Show.
Yes.
For Mayhem and Sue's. Good night, Jeff. Good night, Sue.
Good night.
Good night, guys.